Welcome to Locked On Cardinals. Alex Clancy, Bo Brock. Follow me on Twitter at Clancy's Corner. Follow Bo at Bob Brack. You can follow the podcast at Locked On AZ Cards. Listen to us both on Fox Sports 910 Phoenix. Me 1-4 on the Freaks. Bo 4-7 on the Drive Monday through Friday. So we've hit a lull, just seemingly on the free agency front and the Kyler Murray to Arizona front. It's not like front page news anymore.
Right, it's not the lead story in the 24-hour news cycle any longer.
Right,
which is kind of funny you call it a lull. It's been a couple days.
Yeah, but it's been a nice breath of fresh air. Because there's a lot that's been going on, and every mock draft that I've seen today, yesterday, Kyler Murray's going number one to the Cardinals. And I don't know if this, because listen, we're closer to the scene than most of those people. Bleacher Report and SB Nation, anybody can do a mock draft and post it and make it look professional with the little logos, by the way, you know, the whole thing.
Sure.
But, I mean, all we've talked about, for all intents and purposes, it's a lot of fluff for something that may not come to fruition.
I mean, we've said it on this podcast before that the national media need Kyler Murray to be in the conversation for the top pick.
Yeah.
Don't they? They need it for the home stretch here. We've got, a month and a couple days?
Yeah.
They still need Kyler Murray. They still need that speculation in order to push their draft content, right? I mean, people, they need that. It's not sexy to have Nick Bosa or Quinnen Williams or Josh Allen, whoever ends up being the pick. It's not sexy for Josh Rosen to remain the Cardinals quarterback and Kyler Murray to go, who knows where he goes if he doesn't go number one. I mean, we haven't seen in any of those mock drafts, nobody has had the testicular fortitude to put Kyler Murray anywhere else but one. But where does he go?
Right. No, I mean, it's valid. I mean, lest we forget, I can't remember if it was McShay or Kuiper who at one time had Johnny Manziel going number one overall in one of their mock drafts. It was in the middle where it's like mock draft 3.9 or, you know, whatever it is, where it's not the final one, it's not the beginning one, it's one in the middle where they just get away with, you know, putting different people at different places and people forget.
Like peak misinformation and people can really just, I mean, it's fair to speculate on
anything,
right?
I feel like it was the Browns. I don't know who had the number one overall pick. Oh, no, it was Houston. Houston,
yeah.
Because they took Jadeveon Clowney that year. But, yeah, so just pump the brakes on it. We're not there yet. We're still in kind of no man's land regarding the structure of what teams want to do. Big boards are starting to be formulated, but it's not there yet.
Right.
You know, and it's, listen, again, Bo and I will have the most fun jobs in the world up until the draft, because this is really the only time since they made the NFC Championship run that the Cardinals have gotten any sort of national media run like they're getting right now.
Well, I mean, it was that year, the year after where you thought, there was the fun pick.
The all or nothing.
The fun pick for the Super Bowl. A lot of people had them coming out of the NFC, and what, they go 7-8-1?
Yeah.
Very disappointing.
It was bad.
But it's interesting because on the drive, we talked to Daniel Jeremiah, one of the most well-respected, if not the most well-respected draft experts, analysts going right now, right? I mean, he took over for Mike Mayock after Mayock went to the Oakland Raiders as their new GM. And Daniel Jeremiah, and I want to say at least his last two mock drafts, he's on board with Kyler Murray going to the Arizona Cardinals at one. And then we talked to Ian Rappaport on Friday. So we talked to DJ on Thursday. We talked to Ian Rappaport on Friday. And Ian Rappaport has maintained that Josh Rosen is going to be the quarterback for the Arizona Cardinals. He's been told that publicly. He's been told that privately. But he's also, I think, because Ian came out on the show a couple weeks ago, and he said he feels very strongly about Rosen being the quarterback for the Cardinals going forward. But I feel like with all the information and with all these respected names in the NFL and outside the NFL, just in their opinions, the most respected opinions, it's split 50-50, if not more, on the side of Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
So even a guy like Ian Rappaport, who probably knows better than you and I even. So he's so dialed in.
He and
Schefter, and he's one of the top insiders.
Yeah.
He might even already know that as fact, but all the information, maybe misinformation that's coming out is making even a guy like Ian flinch.
Yeah, oh, no, absolutely. That's a valid point. And we've seen some misreportings and people getting, like Benjamin Albright's been getting ripped on Twitter. I mean, these things, like Ian Rappaport got duped into Antonio Brown to the Bills.
Well, wasn't it? I don't feel like he was duped. I mean, that was That was something that was going to happen. It's just the Bills didn't have – they didn't want to restructure. They didn't want to give a new, brand new guaranteed money.
But you would think
money.
That once he puts it out there, it's gold.
I mean that's the risk of being an insider, right?
Right.
If you look at all these –
if you're first, then there's all those things right. that have could potentially happen.
I mean, and he said told us this on Friday. I mean, there's been things that he's been told that at the time were 100% fact as far as drafts are concerned. Like, if – this player is available at 5. This team is going to select it. And then the team, for whatever reason, pivoted a different direction.
Uh-huh.
And, like, that's the danger of being an insider. There was, like, the Ian Rappaport story about Kirk Cousins and the Browns a couple of years ago when he was the quarterback of the Redskins. And he was bold enough to put it out there, but it didn't come to fruition. Was he wrong? At the end of the day, yeah, it never happened, but was he wrong about the information that he was fed?
At the time.
It's just, it's an interesting, and it's kind of a, I mean, not to get into like the difference between like an insider and breaking information and breaking news and maybe just, you know, your pundits and your analysts. It's just interesting. I mean, there's going to be misinformation. There's going to be information that's true at the time that teams pivot because of draft plans change. It's such a fluid situation. But here, look, I think I want to continue to say that I believe Josh Rosen's the quarterback going forward.
Agreed. I mean, we're not flinching here.
Right.
I mean, that's as ironclad as possible. There is one thing, though, that could potentially push Bo and I, both of us, off our Josh Rosen stoop. And I'll tell you what it is next, Locked On Cardinals. Welcome back, Locked On Cardinals, Alex Clancy, Bo Brock. So there's one thing that could potentially push Bo and myself off of the Josh Rosen is the quarterback of the Arizona Cardinals stoop, which is as ironclad concrete as ever today, and that's if John Gruden wants to go rogue. And by rogue, for him, that's kind of loosely defined at this point. I put out an article on Fox Sports 910 Phoenix articles, again, loosely defined. It's more of a blog post. I'm getting ripped for it, which is, you know, means that it's polarizing, that John Gruden's doing it the right way and the Cardinals are playing it safe. And, John, not everybody has a 10-year plan. What's his 5-year plan? Not die. He has a 10-year plan where he ain't going to get fired from Oakland. Mike Mayock works for him, mm-hmm. seemingly. And that was part of his deal when he came in for the 10-year, 100-mil contract. So he can make like 3 mistakes in 3 separate times during his tenure. But if they make it to an AFC Championship game in the next 10 years or a Super Bowl, he wins. So he can make mistakes. But if one elixir works, cool. And if that means that trading Khalil Mack for a couple first rounders is what it was, cool. If they offer the 4th overall pick, the number one, the 24th or whatever it is, the earliest 1st-round pick in the 20s,
mm-hmm.
and a 2nd-rounder next year for the number one overall pick.
Yeah, why not do it?
Like, you have to do it.
Right.
You'd be doing a disservice
to your...
Who
would they be doing it for, do you think?
I don't know. And because the only reason why the 4th is a scary spot is because your top 3 go-tos are gone.
Yeah. Because a quarterback like Kyler Murray, and I'd have to do a little bit more research and see if Gruden has any kind of sound bites, quotes about Kyler Murray.
I'm doing Kyler Murray or Nick Bosa.
Sure. No, and
so I'm saying either
I'm just,
for the number
for,
one pick.
For the discussion. I mean, I'm just saying, Kyler Murray doesn't strike me as a guy that John Gruden would be interested in. But yeah, a guy like Nick Bosa.
Do they severely need?
Right, you could connect the dots. They sent a pass rusher out. They severely need a pass rusher. Nick Bosa would fit that very much so, right? So, yeah, when we're having this conversation, I'm not talking about Gruden trading up for Murray, but trading up for Nick Bosa.
Yeah.
And then what does that do with Murray? You know, does he fall? What if he falls to 4?
Then the Cardinals can trade back again if they want to.
Right.
Well, I mean, see, that's why this whole thing
yeah.
is the foundation is if John Gruden doesn't go rogue.
Right,
they will.
And
they will
think
take
that's rogue, right? I mean,
but it depends. What if they? Yeah. Because what if they offer a swap and a first next year? I think you need to maximize this year if you're going to trade down. You need to maximize this year because say you get Oakland's first next year,
mm-hmm.
they're going to be better. It's not going to be a top 2 pick next year, so you can't like say Josh Rosen doesn't work. You can't just have Tua falling into your lap, because Oakland's pick's going to be in the mid, you know, 6, 7, 8. They're going to win 6 or 7 games next year. So it's not going to be as high as the 4 this year.
So will the Cardinals. I mean, the Cardinals aren't that's where I would say, hey, let's pump the brakes as far as the you need to acquire as much draft capital for this draft. Because I'm not really particularly impressed with this draft. This draft is loaded at one position, and that's the defensive line.
Well, but you have the two guys. You have Jonah Williams and the dude from Washington State offensive line. You have several receivers that I know that maybe 6 years ago they wouldn't be going in the top 10 or top 15, but that's where we're trending towards in the NFL with running backs and wide receivers. There's a really good tight end in this class.
Sure.
I feel like we're wasting Patrick Peterson and Chandler Jones' careers if they're not going for it now.
Yeah, but at the same time, you're bringing in... I mean, even if you trade down, you've got that impact player that if you stick and pick at 4, the Raiders pick that you acquire for this season, you just, you know, the swap, and then you're talking about a future first potentially. I mean, those are foundational potential players right there. You have to look at that as far. I mean, I know it's a bummer to waste the prime of these players, but there's so much turnover in the NFL. I mean, look at where the Raiders were years ago. We thought that they were going to be a team in the future. Yeah. It's so many young stars, Derek Carr, Amari Cooper. I mean, that was what we thought was going to be a fixture in the AFC West. And it's, within a year, it fell apart. It fell by the wayside, and they are already in a full-on rebuild. So things can change so quickly.
No, that's fair. I mean, I agreed.
I mean, as much as... Look, I think that the Arizona Cardinals absolutely need to capitalize when they've got two players of the caliber of Patrick Peterson and Chandler Jones. But if they don't, but they're setting themselves up. I mean, we're not... The Cardinals aren't drafting to be in the thick of things. And when I mean the thick of things, playing in January... Right. Because of what they do in the 2019 draft.
No, I agree.
I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid that much on what they've done in this offseason.
No, I agree with that, but it is kind of a two-pronged question, because for some reason Oakland loves Kyler Murray.
Mm-hmm.
And they made it known, because everything's known now, that they're going to move up to number 1 and take Kyler Murray. I'd be much more inclined to trade then, because then, and I'm going to get to why, then you have Nick Bosa, Quinnen Williams, Josh Allen. There are one of those three guys that you will get.
Sure.
Okay?
Yeah.
If they move up to trade Nick Bosa, draft Nick Bosa, then we get into that territory where Steve Keim's going to have to determine who the next best guy is, which is something that we don't want to put him the position we want to put him in. So say they draft Nick Bosa, and we're moving away from Kyler Murray, like a Kyler Murray scenario at that point, like somebody trading up, because like mock drafts, you can't account for everything.
Right.
Nick Bosa would go, Quinnen Williams would go, Josh Allen would go, and then what?
Right. Well, like, yeah, I mean, look, it's a valid point as far as if they're trading up for Kyler Murray, it's kind of a double-edged sword, right? Because, one, Kyler Murray has no business being in the top 5 as far as guys getting drafted there, especially at number 1.
Yeah.
So that moves the talent back. But then again, it's kind of like when people were discussing the Browns when they had 2 top 5 picks last year. They had 1 and they had 4. People were like, "Well, why don't they just take Saquon Barkley number 1 overall and then just take the quarterbacks available at 4?"
Right.
And what did the Browns do? They punted on that. They took the guy they wanted at 1, and then they took Denzel Ward at 4, and that worked out pretty well for them.
Genius move.
Yeah, it was.
Bradley Chubb from what was it, NC State?
Yeah.
Bradley Chubb was, you're taking Bradley Chubb at 4, you win.
Right.
Wow.
You got Bradley Chubb on one side, you got Myles Garrett on the other.
Yeah.
No, they go corner.
Yeah. And he's going to be a Pro Bowler, perennial Pro Bowler, it seems like.
Exactly.
From Ohio State. It wasn't an Eli Apple situation.
It's interesting. That's why I'm saying it's kind of like a double-edged sword there. I mean, it's nice to have your opportunity still to have like a top 3 talent in Allen and Williams and Bosa, but you're not getting to get you. There's a good chance you're not getting your guy.
Right.
And, you know, the Cardinals going at 3-13, their season basically have been over by week 6, week 7 last year. They've had ample time to prepare for this. If they haven't identified their guy, then there's something drastically wrong with this organization.
So wrapping up what I said going into the tease before this segment was, if everything should remain the same unless John Gruden decides to sack up and offer something the Cardinals can't refuse, which
right
could inevitably crumble everything the Cardinals want.
Right. If John Gruden becomes the godfather, he's like, I got an offer for you that you can't refuse.
Yeah.
But here's the one minor detail that I disagree with you on in this hypothetical is I think that the Cardinals should not be against acquiring future draft assets. I don't think that the 2019 draft is that important just based on the idea that you don't want to waste any more Chandler Jones, Patrick Peterson's time. Because I think and no matter what you do, this team, if you can put them in a position, this is my ceiling for the Cardinals in 2019. I know it's early, but we're up against the clock. I'll tell you what my ceiling for the Arizona Cardinals is next. It's Locked On Cardinals, Bo and Alex.
Wrapping up here, Locked On Cardinals, Alex Clancy, Bo Brock. So listen to us both on Fox Sports 910 Phoenix, me 1-4 on the Freaks, and Bo 4-7 on the Drive. So before we get to Bo's tease, the only thing I was saying, and this will feed right into what you're saying about if the Raiders were to trade up, you need something for this year. It can't be we're going to trade, we're going to flop, and then we'll give you our first-round pick next year.
Right.
You need some more juice in this draft than just moving down three spots.
Sure.
That's all I was saying.
Yeah.
I mean,
and so I think it would be in the form of like a third or a fourth-round pick.
For this year, and I don't think that's enough. Like, and so, okay, to your point, so go ahead.
As far as
go ahead. Let's do that, and we'll
absolutely
Tarantino it.
And then also we'll get to the Vontaze Burfict conversation. Mm-hmm. I think that the Arizona Cardinals, if come week 16 and 17, they're competing, they're still in the conversation for a wild card spot. That's a very good season.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That. I mean, I think that goes without saying.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want people to get lost in what we say. Like, I think on Friday, I was waxing poetic about some of the moves they made. I like Jordan Hicks.
Yeah.
I think that's a great signing. I like the Terrell Suggs. I think he's a guy that's going to come into the locker room and immediately demand respect.
Yeah.
And something that's been lacking for a long time.
Yes.
As far as the offensive line, Jarris Wheezy from Mike Iupati, straight up, basically, that's a good move. But does it take the worst offensive line? You pointed out, does it take the offense that you really haven't done much in turning over, a historically bad offense, does it make it decent in this day and age in the NFL? Not even just compared historically, which it was historically bad. I don't know. It's not enough to change my mind. You were 3-13. Yeah. You bottomed out. And to like these moves, that's one thing. But to actually think that they're going to translate into them being in the thick of the NFC West, that's not what I'm saying.
No, agree. But listen, people need to pay attention here. Just because signings were flashy and they were for a lot of money doesn't mean they're going to work.
Sure.
So the whole thing, and the thing with the Odell Beckham trade, it's people like, oh my God, they're going to win the Super Bowl. Relax.
Right.
And it's not, because it's Cleveland. If the Patriots did this, you just need to relax. Because on paper, doesn't matter. It matters how the games are played. And with all these drafts, if you draft them, you win the Super Bowl. If you trade for all this stuff, you still have to play.
Right.
You still have to play. Injuries happen. I can guarantee two of those guys are going to get injured.
Yeah.
Beckham and Jarvis Landry are injury prone.
Or Baker Mayfield.
Yep. Nick Chubb is not. People are going to know who Nick Chubb is now. So, and when you have Kareem Hunt. He's only going to miss 8 games. He'll be back ready for the playoff run. Relax. Look at what happened in Pittsburgh. We have arguably the best offense ever constructed in the NFL, star power-wise, Big Ben, Martavius Bryant, Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell from a couple years ago. Oh my God, they're going to be the best offense ever if they can stay healthy. It didn't work.
Right.
It didn't work. So just chill. And I agree with you. Listen, I'm hoping for a 6-10, 7-9 season, which is a massive improvement. If you can win double the games, the Browns, they won 7 more games they did the year before. Chill out, okay? They could have gone 3-13 last year. They could have gone 13-3 last year. The Browns could have, with how close these games were. So just chill. So I agree with you. The offseason has been good so far. The offense is still awful. It's arguably worse than last year. We don't know what the offensive line's going to be. And Kevin White doesn't seem to be, the guy that's going to bring them into the 21st century. So let's pivot here because we're getting short on time. Vontaze Burfict has been cut by the Cincinnati Bengals. Vontaze Burfict was the last real stud on the defensive side of the ball for Arizona State. I guess Will Sutton, a defensive tackle, time they were ranked.
He won the conference player of the year 2 times in a row.
Yeah. Vontez did?
Yeah. No.
Will Sutton did.
Yes, we did.
And I think he's out of the league at this point.
He's playing in the AAF.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is. He was a guy that was a little undersized, not as quick at his position on the interior of the defensive line.
But they were relevant. Arizona State was relevant when he was the big boy in the middle.
As for Burfict, I mean, the character flaws just were too much for NFL teams.
He makes James Harrison look like Mother Teresa.
He does. He continues to do so. And it seemed like him and the Cincinnati Bengals were pretty much the only fit.
Right.
Right. And Vontaze Burfict went undrafted out at ASU despite all that talent. And he was. He was. When he was a guy that was focused and he was a guy that was playing with his hair on fire, he was a force to be reckoned with. We saw that at the NFL level. He earned himself an extension with the Bengals, and he played a lot of important years for that franchise. I mean, despite having, you know, when you look at the Marvin Lewis tenure, the era, and Andy Dalton and A.J. Green and all those years, they go to the postseason 5 times. They went 0-5.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, they took that franchise to heights it hadn't seen in a long time.
Boomer. Yeah.
So... as far as Vontaze Burfict, it's been a homecoming for a couple guys, right? I mean, the Arizona Cardinals has become kind of a hotbed of late. You know, it started a couple years ago. They brought back DJ Foster, a guy that played his high school ball at Saguaro. He played at ASU. He's not like an impact player on the field, but it's kind of cool for the fan base to, like, hey, I watched that kid grow up here. I watched him play at ASU. I saw a guy like Christian Kirk. He was a star in the high school ranks. He went to Texas A&M, mm-hmm. got him in the second round. He's a stud. We like this, right? They bring back Terrell Suggs. They bring back Brett Hundley. So it's kind of been a trend. I don't think Vontaze Burfict fits this. I don't think he fits. Just the marriage ended in divorce at ASU.
Yeah, I'm on the record myriad times saying, you know what, the Cardinals aren't good enough to, and the Diamondbacks, and the not the Diamondbacks, the Suns aren't good enough to be like, you know what, there's that off-the-field stuff, we're going to pass, except for in this situation. You don't touch this.
Yeah.
You just don't touch it.
He's lava.
I mean, he's like the, yeah, yeah, and you're standing on a chair as a six-year-old and you can't touch the ground. He is the exception to the rule of you take talent over everything. Because I was, when Reuben Foster got cut, I was upset that the Cardinals didn't even make a play for him.
Yeah.
You know, and I get that domestic violence is bad, but this is the NFL. Like, if Tyreek Hill gets cut,
mm-hmm.
regardless of the atrocities that he, even though he's not named a suspect at this point in the child abuse case from last week, I would be upset if the Cardinals didn't try to put a waiver claim in for him. Because it's the NFL. I mean, it doesn't.
Yeah, what have you seen lately? If you have talent, teams will take a chance on it. And if you're one of the teams that your moral high ground is above that, look, I applaud that. But
that
at
moral
the same
high
time,
ground doesn't win Super Bowls.
No, it doesn't.
And it's Bo and I are very moral people. But if the Cardinals didn't put a waiver claim in for Tyreek Hill, if he were to get cut, they'd be doing the franchise a disservice. And listen, the first time he scores 10 touchdowns in a season, people are going to forget. People are very, very easy to forget and be on whatever side of confirmation bias they want to be on, especially during a moral issue. And I wish that we were Locked On Chiefs for like one day so we could talk about the debate where it's like, hey, if you are that front office,
mm-hmm.
do you just suspend him in-house for a year?
Well,
instead of just cutting him, yeah, so somebody else can pick him up?
The thing is with all these situations is they're case by case, right? And with Kareem Hunt got in trouble in February of 2018.
Yeah.
And the new information, the TMZ video came of light in December. And he had lied to the Chiefs about what they would have
actually
seen.
Actually happened?
Yeah.
Right, but
what
he
actually
said
happened.
He said that something right. happened.
And I think as far as the Tariq Hill thing is, it just happened.
Right.
They're going to be a little bit. They're going to do their due diligence a lot better. You would hope that they've learned their lesson, and we're not going to see that. I think it's just different between how they're going to handle Tariq Hill. Probably also to a lot to what you've said is like if they cut ties for nothing, they better recognize that there's 31 other teams
yeah.
willing to.
There
pick
will
up
be
that.
No moratorium on right. the top three wide receiver in the league for people not signing him. It's
right.
going to be immediate.
It might not be. I think we've seen the days of, you know, the Washington Redskins. We saw the PR debacle that was when they put the claim in for Reuben Foster. And
for like 24 hours,
right.
man.
And
then people forgot.
And was it worth it for the Redskins?
We don't know yet.
Yeah, we don't know.
He was a first-round pick. They got a first-round pick for nothing.
Right, and then we see, I mean, Reuben Foster hasn't proved injury-wise or other reason-wise to even put himself on the field to prove his first-round talent. And then you've got a guy like Kareem Hunt who you just let the dust settle, and the Cleveland Browns pick him up. They're going to have to let him sit for 8 weeks. But after that,
rookie contract.
The guy in his rookie season is the leading rusher in the NFL.
Yeah.
He was a monster last year.
Yeah, and that's – so, listen, again, we're not locked on Chiefs, but it's fascinating.
You get to fulfill your dream of being
a winning team.
Chiefs.
I was close to Patrick Mahomes at Radio Row. That was about as close as I get to locked on Chiefs. We'll check you guys tomorrow, and we'll talk more about this. Number one pick, I promise we won't inundate you with just this talk. We talk as the news provides us, and, it's going to be good moving forward. We have 5 weeks. 5.5 weeks until the draft.
Yeah.
And you're going to be sick of hearing us by then when it comes to Nick Bosa, Kyler Murray. But we'll do our best to keep you informed with new and original content. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow.